home. Amen? Right?
Amen.
Amen. Because the scripture says that in him all things are made. Amen.
Right.
I'll let the musicians go ahead and go to their seats. Amen. Well, I'm sure you love the Lord because you're here with us in the house of God today. And so that's what we're here for. We want to express our love to him and our thankfulness to him for everything he's done for us. I just want to continue to remember the Wheeler family. And Mike and Becky Wheeler both are real saints of God. Their spirits are in full gear, high gear, and they're just know that God is totally in control, and that's where it really ought to be whenever you go through trials. So we just know that the Lord will take care of that situation, and so just remember to just keep them in prayer. I believe that God will answer those prayers. We want to open our Bibles and go to Romans chapter 8 this morning. Romans chapter 8, we can start reading at verse 11. Amen. I had put a prayer request in last week with the church to pray that any delays that was holding up the submitting of paperwork for the church, you know, to go before the judge and so forth, that would those delays would be taken out of the way. And I'm just happy to announce that everything's been filed and is now in the hands of the judge. So just be praying that he doesn't require anything else and doesn't require any kind of a hearing, because if it has to have a hearing, it'll be probably at least a minimum of 3 months because of the backed up court. So now we know what to pray for. Amen. So just want to thank the Lord for undertaking for us. Romans chapter 8, verse 11. But if the Spirit of him that raised Jesus from the dead dwelleth in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Notice he says your mortal bodies. So what's it talking about? Quickening this. All right? Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if you through the Spirit, that's a capital S there, if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. For the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our bodies. Amen? The redemption of our bodies. Now let's go to Galatians chapter 4, verse 1. I want to talk to you this morning as we're going to that scripture. I want to speak to you on the spirit of adoption. Spirit of adoption and a subtitle we could put in there just to go with that. Full obedience, full fellowship. Galatians chapter 4, verse 1. Paul speaking says, now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so, when we were children, we were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. There's that phrase again, Abba, Father. And we'll go to Ephesians chapter 1 real quick. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1 through 6. And then we'll pray just for a moment and you can be seated. This again is Apostle Paul speaking. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and unto the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with how many?
All
spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ unto himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Amen. Let's just pray for a moment. Our gracious Heavenly Father, as we come to you this morning, just so happy to be in the house of God this morning, to be with your saints. And Lord, just to have this time before us that we can talk and speak and hear and just experience your word this morning, Lord. It's such a wonderful place, a wonderful benefit that you have allowed us to have, and we're so thankful for it. Lord, we know that the enemy wants to take away from your people their ability to have anything to do with your word. But God, we also know that you've provided for us, and you always have and you always will, and we just want to take the provisions that you've given to us this morning, Lord, and just to accept them and embrace them and give attentiveness to it. I ask, God, that you would help each one of us to do our part this morning, each one that would hear. I ask, God, that you give us strength in our bodies, Lord God, and keep us alert. Give us what we need to be able to carry out your will this morning. And I ask for this blessing on each individual now. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And you can be seated. The spirit of adoption. I mean, we remember what the spirit of how that adoption works in the Bible. Adoption, you know, in our country, in our world, when we talk about adoption, most of the time what we're thinking is that you have a family and they go outside of that family and they find a child that needs a home and they make that child part of the family when they weren't part of it. But Bible adoption is not that way. Bible adoption, in the terms of adoption in the Bible, is that you have a son who's born in your house, and there comes a time in his life where he is adopted. And what that really means is not that he was taken and made part of the family. He's already part of the family.
Yeah.
But he is taken and placed into authority.
Right.
And so keep that in mind as we talk about this. Now, we find out in the scriptures, and many times when I start preaching, I always want to comment a lot of times how thankful I am for the message to bring out truths that we didn't know or wouldn't know had God not given it to us. But, you know, we find out in the scriptures that before, you know, God is infinite and eternal, and he had a desire in himself to have fellowship. And so because he had desire for fellowship, he, you know, Brother Ram said the first thing created was angels, right? And these angels worshiped.
Right.
But you see, these angels being created to worship him and so forth, the kind of fellowship that God was looking for, angels couldn't provide. Now, you know, angels, we think of angels being great, majestic, and they are. They're empowered to do great things. We find that one angel in the Bible could kill 185,000 people in one day. We find that one angel with a message from God could shake the whole earth. So they are great and majestic. But an angel, from this standpoint we're talking about, God could not have the fellowship with those angels like he desired. So he set out this plan and set out his program to send you and I forth, that he might have fellowship with you and I. So what he wanted was to have fellowship on the highest level that he possibly could have. And so he couldn't have that with created beings, angels, and so forth. So his plan sent you forth, and he sent you forth into this earth as sons and daughters of God. Now, I probably refer to sons a lot here, but I'm including you sisters because you're children of God. And so for the time being in this service, you sisters just consider yourself as a son of God, okay? Because in him there's neither male nor female, right? Scripture says so. So just consider yourself as a son who is in this program that we're talking about this morning. So God wanted fellowship, and so he sent you forth. And when he sent you forth, brought you forth, he didn't bring you forth as a friend or as a neighbor or as an acquaintance. Because all of those, a friend, a neighbor, or whatever, acquaintance, can all have fellowship with him. But that wouldn't satisfy the desire. So when he brought you forth as sons of God. Amen? Right. He brought you forth as sons of God. And so that would empower you to have fellowship with him on the plane that he wants to have it on. Not way down here, but he wants it up here on the plane. Fellowship with the Father on the plane that the Father is on.
Yeah.
Now you can't do that as a little child. You have to come to maturity. So we're talking about that a lot this morning. And so you find out that true fellowship with God is on God's level. Right? So God come down and meet you as a child and fellowship you on different levels, but his desire is to bring you to his level. And so fellowship is centered around a point of agreement. Now, you remember how Brother Graham talked about the definition of fellowship. Brother Bosworth gave this. Was fellowship was two fellows in one ship, or one boat, one ship paddling in the same direction.
Right.
Now, if I'm in a boat or a canoe, and Brother Daniel's in there with me, and I'm paddling one direction, and he's paddling the other direction, where are we going to go?
Right.
Not very far at all. But if we're both paddling in the same direction, how much ground can we cover? Right? You brothers have been kayaking and canoeing lately. You can think about this a lot, you know. If we're out in the current and we're needing to go upstream, you're not going to go upstream if you're both working against each other. But if you both can work together, you can make ground against the current, right? But if you let go, watch how fast you go past. That's what Brother Rim said, if you stop. So true fellowship, two fellows in one ship, are centered around a center point, a rally point, and that is, in that example, is that you're both on the same track. You both agree which direction to paddle.
Yeah.
So true fellowship with God, true fellowship with your Father, could only happen when you are paddling in the same direction he is.
Yeah.
And as long as you don't agree with him, as long as you don't paddle in the same direction with your Father, then you're not going to make any ground, and he can't have the fellowship with you that he really wants to. And make no mistake, he wants to have fellowship with you more than you do him.
Yeah.
But you can only have fellowship with him on the grounds of what it is to be the Father, to have his revelation, to have his understanding, his character, his know-how. So the whole program is to bring you to that level where you can have fellowship with him unhindered. So, he brought you forth as sons, because sons are the only ones that are in channel to come to that place.
Yeah.
Sons of God are the only ones that are in line to come to that place where they have total, complete fellowship with the Father. Only the sons do this.
Yeah.
Not the neighbors, not the friends, not the co-workers, but sons.
Right.
They're the only ones. So, sons come into that channel because they are sons. Now, when we talk about sons, we're talking about abilities and attributes, because we know that God is the Father of lights, in whom there's no variable shadow turning. He can't fail, right? He can't fail. He can't lie, right? He can't make a mistake, right? So he can do all things except lie, fail, cheat. He can't do those things, but he's perfect. This is the character and the nature of God. So I want to paint this picture of this great being and to refer to him as having genetics, genes. He has a makeup inside him that's what he is. It's how he's made. It's how he's and it's his whole structure and everything, how he responds and his intelligence and all of his character. It's all right there. That's who he is. And he's the father because he has sons. And so when he has sons, it means that there is something about that character or that nature of that one who he sends forth from himself, and he puts that into his son. So his sons come forth with bearing some genetics that ties him back to the father. And there's no way that you could ever get away from that. Now, predestination will be heavy this morning, okay? We read where we're predestinated to come to adoption. So when this child comes forth into this world, I don't care if they are born in a pig pen or a chicken pen. He sends them forth. They have his attributes in them. Because if they don't have those attributes in them, they're not his. But if they come forth with one of his, guaranteed they will have his genetics. And that means something about the character that's in him, something about his nature, something about his abilities. Somehow that is passed in through genes, and that child will at some point in their life begin to manifest those same potentials, same abilities, the same thing that father has.
Yes.
Can't be any other way. I look at these little ones, and I was looking at the newest addition to the Wheeler family there, and he just smiled yesterday, and he looked just like his mommy for a moment. I thought, well, I'm looking at Brittany, you know? But at times you look at him and say, well, I see Matt. What is that? That's the genetics of a parent's coming into the situation there. So, anyway, when we speak of sons, we're speaking of the attributes and the abilities of the father now becomes resident at some point in the child. But it's not in the child, resident in the child. It's there in gene form, but it's not in manifestation until they grow up. Right? And as they grow from being a baby and they get bigger and they get bigger and they get bigger, they begin to express more of father, more of father, more of father. And it's a process. I'm not telling you something you don't know, but perhaps the Lord will arrange us all this morning where he'll say something to you maybe that you haven't noticed before. And so they have the genetics in them to be like father at some point. Under the right conditions, they become like father. Not only do they have the ability to do it, but I believe they have something in them that cries out to be like father.
Yeah.
That cries out to be like God. Because I'll tell you what, if you're a Christian, there's something constantly going on in your mind that you want to please God and you want to be able to do things like he would do.
Yeah.
That's what's in your mind. And so, that speaks of sons speak of the attributes and abilities of be like father. We need to stop cutting ourselves short here.
Right.
We need to start realizing that at some point we come to that place where we do believe and understand, not just because we see it in scriptures, but it comes home to us where we realize, you know what? Let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, right? Who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Right? He didn't. He come to the revelation to such a place that he knew that God was in him, because he was. That they said to him, who do you make yourself? What are you talking about? And it's no different. God should be so resident in our lives, and not just in what he would do and what he would show, but in our own thinking, we should begin to understand that when we go to visit somebody in the hospital, that Jesus Christ walks in that place.
Yeah.
That's who's there. See? And we got to start thinking that way. And so there's something in us that wants to be like our Father. Now the scripture says, we read it, and because you are sons, he sent forth into your heart the spirit of his Son, crying, Abba, Father. It did not say that when he sent that spirit into you, that makes you a son. That is not what that scripture said. That scripture says, and because you are sons,
right,
he sends that spirit to you. So when I look at it like this, you know, Brother Ram talks about that eagle going out trying to find that baby, right? So this spirit of God, this spirit of his son, the spirit of adoption, he sends that spirit into the earth, And that spirit is seeking out sons. Not seeking out somebody to make them a son. They're already a son. They're already born into the kingdom. But he's seeking out that one who is born into the kingdom, that he might find him and that he might anoint that child to bring that child to placing, to adoption. So this spirit of adoption that comes forth, the purpose of it is, one of the biggest purposes is that it will come to you and bring you to that maturity level. That you can have full fellowship with the Father, full abilities of the Father exhibited in your life. That's what that spirit comes forth for. And so he says, because you are sons. And again in Ephesians, we read it, that you are predestinated to that position. Nobody else can be in that position. It's given to you by predestination. And so what you find out is that the Spirit of God, when he comes forth to anoint for that purpose, that he might tutor and bring forth someone to a maturity level, that he can fully share attribute. So that you, when he would sit there and say, son, man, you know what it feels like to create a son and stick it out there in space? And he goes, dad, I don't know. I don't know what it's like to do that. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about a place where he can say, son, what do you think about that? Don't you know? And he says, yes, dad, I know. I know exactly how it is to be like you because I am like you. And when you speak things, I can speak things. Right? Now you can fully have fellowship with Father. See? But until we come to that maturity place, we really don't have complete total fellowship with the Father. Right? So that's what he wants us to do, is to come to that place. So when he sends forth that spirit of adoption into the earth, where does it go? It seeks out the gene of God.
Right.
Okay, so it seeks out a place and it says, I know that in the earth are sons and daughters of God, and in them is the gene to be like Father. And so I'm going to go out and I'm going to seek out and I'm going to find that gene. And I don't care if they're in a pig pen, a hog pen, in Russia, Siberia, Mexico, wherever they are. I'm going to find that gene and I'm going to anoint that gene because that's the only gene that can come forth in the strength and have full fellowship with the Father. So that's where the Spirit goes. That's where that spirit of adoption goes and tries to anoint and carry out the adoption process. That's where it goes and it doesn't go somewhere else. Don't think it's strange if many people around you don't give a care about the Word of God. It may not be sent to them. But it is sent to those that's got something predestinated in them that ties them back to the Father. And that's why that Spirit's trying to anoint you. That's why he deals with you all the time. That's why he's trying to work with you and woo with you. Because you are sons, that's why he's on you. That's why he's drawing you like that. So that's where he goes. He goes to where the gene is and not to another. Right? Man. Now, Scripture tells us, and we read it, that adoption for you and I, what that equates to is the redemption of our bodies. We're just reading about it. Adoption for you and I is total, complete redemption of our body. In other words, it's body change.
Yeah.
It's the rapture for you and I, not just spiritually speaking, but absolute body change. That is our adoption. So we already know that we can't have full fellowship with God completely until we are placed as son in adoption. And so we realize that. And so, adoption is total redemption of our bodies because the Scripture says, to wit, the redemption of our bodies. Now, to wit means a total comprehension, total, complete absorption, understanding, total understanding of it. Because you'll find scriptures where, I think it was Eliezer, I believe that was one of the places where he prayed and he stood back to wit whether God had prospered his journey or not. To wit, to see whether God
So to wit is to see. So to wit the redemption of our bodies, to see the redemption of our bodies. But also it make them every whit whole, completely whole. So to wit the redemption of our body is the total complete redemption, nothing left out, total complete redemption, and for you to totally comprehend to see that redemption take place.
Yeah.
So it is absolutely the body change that's the final day when God takes you from the level you are prior to adoption and places you in total authority with his power. That's body change time.
Yeah.
Okay? Hope everybody understands that. You're still with me?
Yeah.
All right? So, this spirit of adoption comes upon you, and it draws you and woos you and works with you, and to draw you to the place of what you are to be in eternity. Brother Brown preached that sermon at the end, things that are to be. This spirit of adoption, it knows where you are to be. And it is drawing you and wooing you to get you there, because you're not there now, and something has to work with you to get you there. And it's called the spirit of adoption. It comes upon you to do that. Now, this spirit, when it comes upon you, the scriptures tell us that this spirit is not a spirit of fear. So now we're talking about Almighty God, the creator of heavens and earth, creator of all universe, and the one that no sin dwells in and no unrighteous can dwell in his presence. He's a consuming fire, and it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. So when you talk about coming before God, that's pretty scary. But the scripture says that when we, this gene of God that's in the earth, and he sends forth this spirit to him, that spirit of adoption, is not a spirit of fear. It is not a situation where God is trying to make you tremble.
Yeah.
It's not that. It's a spirit that he wants to come to you, and by sending that to you, what he's saying is, you're my son.
Yeah.
That's what he's doing. You're my son. This is why I'm dealing with your heart, because you're my son. And so the scripture said when that spirit comes upon us and it comes into us, it causes us to cry, Abba, Father. So what that means is that when that spirit comes upon us, we hear, if we understand this properly, we realize that when that Holy Spirit comes upon us, that is God saying, you're my son. And the effect of that should be is the revelation of, you're my father.
Yeah.
Who's my father? He is. In other words, I don't have any more identity crisis.
Right.
I know who I am.
Yeah.
Right? I know who I am, and I know what I'm in line for. Right? And so it's not to make you fearful, but very, very thankful, very respectful, very much in a fellowship program that starts with God, that he can begin to lead you and guide you and to tutor you and those sort of things. So it's my father. Not somebody else's, but I know. Right? I know he's my father.
Amen.
Because he is dealing with my heart.
Right.
He is dealing with your heart. Because you know what you used to be. Right? You know what you used to be at one point in your life, and it wasn't godly, and it wasn't for God, and it was all this stuff in the world, and you know that it was, chasing after whatever Satan wants to throw at you.
Yeah.
Right? You know it was that way, but now you know there's another spirit dealing with you. And this spirit leads you away from that. This spirit leads you in directions that agree with the Word, agree with Father. Could you imagine a tutor coming forth? And he's going to teach you and get you ready for the Father, but he takes you off in a different direction than preparing you for the Father's business. That ain't going to happen with God. God knows exactly what he's doing, and his Spirit will come upon you to lead you and guide you to that place where you agree with Father on every point. That's where he's heading you. That's why Brother Brown kept saying, the Holy Ghost won't lead you to do these things contrary to the Word. The Holy Ghost will not lead you to defy your parents. The Holy Ghost will not lead you to cut off your hair, sisters, and dress ungodly. I don't care how much you dance and shout and all those things. Like I'm telling you what Brother Rim said, right? I don't care how much you do that, the Holy Ghost will not lead you to do something contrary to the Father. Because his very purpose here in life on you is to lead you and guide you to the place where you agree with the Father on every aspect.
Amen.
And you don't disagree at any point.
Amen.
That's what he's here for. So, this Spirit comes upon us and it draws us to the place where we're going to be, into the position of adoption. Now, adoption speaks of actions and authority. Because the Father, you know, Jesus said he come to do the Father's will, right? The Father has a will. If you have a big farm and you got farm hands and servants and all these things, and the owner of the farm, him and his wife have a son. Well, any right man in his right thinking, having a big thing like that, and maybe it's like a plantation house where the whole family lives there or whatever, but any right man would think, you know what, this is my son, and you know, someday I'm going to have to leave this whole operation to somebody to continue to take care of my people after I'm gone. So I got to have somebody to give that to. And a man doesn't normally think about giving it to one of his workers. The first thing that's in his mind is, I'm going to give this to my son. I'm going to raise my son to know how to run this business just like I do. And it's what I want. I want my son to come to the place where he can do this. I want to happily be able to hand to him my estate and walk off and know that he'll take care and my progeny will continue on. My seed line will continue on and they'll all be taken care of and they'll all be blessed and they'll flourish and prosper like God said we could, right? And so you find this in the life of Abraham. Who's going to be this one? And at one point he says, Eliezer. And God said, no, not Eliezer, but out of your own loins. Not a friend, not of acquaintance, not a worker, but your own son. He's the one this thing is going to. And this whole earth and this whole thing, when all the smoke settles, it'll be laying in the hands of the sons of God, right? They're the ones that this thing's going to. Not some other squatter or something like that. It's going to his sons. And so adoption speaks of actions. The Father has action. He does things. He's out of business. He's running. And he's out there. And he's got total authority over his plantation. Nobody can challenge him because he's ultimate in authority. Right? And he desires to raise his son to that same position of authority.
Amen.
So that he could give that business over to his son. And so he wants to bring us to the authority of the Word.
Right.
Spoken Word. Spoken Word without limitations. We have limitations right now. But he wants to bring us to the place where we don't have limitations. And the reason why I say this is because the scripture says that the heir of this plantation or this farm, the heir, though he's the heir of this whole thing, until he is adopted, until he's placed in power and authority, he's no different than a worker, common worker, right out there on the field. The son. Now think about this. In this modern age, we want to bring our kids up and they never have to struggle with nothing. That's wrong. A good parent will want their child to have to work hard to get what they... Why? Because that's the way it works. That's the way... But this generation now has got so decayed that everybody's going to get a ribbon in their races. Everybody's going to get a trophy. Used to be, when I was growing up, there was first, second, and third place, and that was it.
Yeah.
First place, get a blue ribbon. And then there was a red one, and I don't know what the other one was. But so, yeah, you'd give the first guy first place, and then, you know, here's the next one. Well, for you working pretty hard, you get one too. It's not like that one, but at least you do get some credit, and even the third one. And I'm going to tell you something. How many places are there going to be in a rapture?
Right.
How many ribbons? How many is going to be adopted? Well, you're number one. You're the most like the Father's will. And now this one, you're not quite there, but I'll go ahead and let you have some authority. That's not what it shows.
Amen.
This child cannot differ from the Father in any aspect, because if he does, he cannot come to adoption. This is why it's so important that God send a message that we get back to the Word,
amen,
not what a denomination says.
Right.
Back to the Word. Write what the Father says and not something else. Because without that, this Laodicean church, or church in Laodicea, will not be able to sit on his throne. Like he said, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me on my throne.
Right.
Won't happen if we disagree with him.
Right.
It will not happen. And so, this child is grown up just like a servant. Perhaps he even sleeps with the servants. But he works with the servants. And when the supervisor over the field says, we got to get over here and do this. Hey. And he tells this son, get over there. Now here's a servant telling that son what to do. And that son's got to do it. That son can never stand up and go, wait a minute, high in the air, I don't have to do what you're saying. You do right now.
Uh-huh.
You do right now. Until that time comes, you gotta bow down to this stuff. This is why you and I can't just speak something into existence right now, because we're still under tutorship. The Holy Spirit, the form of the Spirit of adoption, is still dealing with us. He wants us in that place, but he by no means will get us put us in power until he gets us to that place. So we find ourselves that sometimes we can speak and God moves, but sometimes we speak and he don't move. Right? My wife last week, I figure what day it was, she all of a sudden her leg starts going bad on her. She can't move it. She goes to sleep. Next morning, I text her from work. I says, she says, I can't move this thing hardly. I can't lift it. It hurts. Right? You know, sometimes God just, things happen like this, you know, and I just did what came to me. And I told her, I said, I texted her back on my phone. I said, you pray, and I'll do the same, and God will take care of it. And he did. Just a few hours later, she was fine. Okay, just by the end of the day, I think she's over. I don't know what it was. I don't need to know what it was. But you know what? Maybe tomorrow, maybe I won't be that way. I don't know. But you see, we're not to that point where whatever we say yet. See, whatsoever, because we're not quite there. But there are moments when we get caught up into that spirit and that unity with the Father that sometimes he grants with us. You know, and so it's like my son Benjamin, you know, I got a tractor there, you know. Well, I don't put him on that tractor when he's 4 or 5 years old, right? But at some point, he gets to the place, and I know he wants to be on that tractor. I know he wants to do what Dad does, right? So at some point, I think, you know, I think if I watch him close, and I sit right there with him, I can let him try this out a little bit. And so we do that, you know. A few more times, and at some point I said, you know, I think he can handle this. I can kind of back off a little bit. I'll tell him what to do. I'll watch from a distance. I won't be so, but you know, he can do this and he can do that. And so the Father knows that what should be in that son is that son should want to be coming to authority, want to come to the ability to do the things the Father does and know how to do it. And the Father wants him to. And so as he's learning and he's growing, he gets a little bit more. And there are times where he says, yeah, son, you can do this. There are times when he says, son, you can't do that. Yeah, the children go, well, I don't understand why. Well, he told me I could last time, and now he says, I can't. Well, there's a reason why. And maybe you can't understand it until he tells you. Or even if he did tell you, maybe you don't understand. But later on, you will.
Yeah.
Right? And so, you know, you got the farm and he needs some hay. And you're thinking, you know, I think my son's getting where he could take that flatbed truck to town and buy me some hay from the co-op or whatever. You know, so at the same time, when that father begins to see that maturity level in that child, when he begins to see it, there's also should be something in the child beginning to cry for that.
Yeah.
So he sees that the child can possibly do it, and there is a desire there to do it. And so under this oversight of the father through a tutor or whatever it might be, in our case, the father does all the tutoring just about in this example. So he says, Dad, do you think perhaps that I could go to town and I could get the load of hay? I think I could do this, you know. And he says, you know, I think you can, but let me, all right, here's what you do. Make sure you don't do this and make sure this. And be careful pulling out, because you might throw that off in the road, and you tell them all, and, you know, be sure to strap it down. And you got that? Yeah, I think. And so son goes to town, and he's real careful, you know, and he goes, and he gets the hay, and he makes it back, and he did great. Hey, this is good. And so, you know, another month goes by, and he needs some more hay, and it comes time, you know, and the son's like, Dad, you think I could do it again? Yeah, son, I think you can. Yeah, go ahead. Here. Now, you remember what I told you? Yeah, I remember. You don't have to sit there and go over it all again. You remember? You remember what? Yeah, Daddy. He goes to town. Again, he gets some hay, and he comes back, and, you know, another month goes by, needs some more hay. Hey, Dad, you think I can go get the hay this time? Sure, son. Here's the keys. You don't have to tell him. You see the process? He don't have to tell him. He goes and gets it. A little time goes by. Son, I made a key for you. Next time we need it, you just go get it. You don't have to come talk to me about it. You see what I mean? This is the way this works. As sons of God, as they grow in maturity, they should come to this place where this interaction is happening like this. You should see God moving. There should be things happening. Now listen, don't just take this all spiritual. You young boys and sisters, you think about your earthly parents. Because this is what works in them, and this is what works with them. If you want to be able to drive the car to town, you've got to show yourself worthy to do such. Amen. And they want you to be able to drive with the car. They'd just be proud to see you do that. But they know they can't do it if you're not there yet. So get in sync with the program of father and son, and you'll find that you will mature faster, and you'll have privileges, and this thing will work. And while this is happening, you're in fellowship with the Father. But I'll tell you something. If you're constantly trying to do it against the Father's will, and you don't want to do it His way, you'll be in constant turmoil with your Father. That's the way it happens. There's a right way this thing works. When God established stuff, it's right. And until we get back to that, I don't care what the world says, until we have a righteous king on the throne, it's not going to work. Not a body of men who are corrupt and all that, but until we get to righteous king on the throne, and I'm talking about Jesus Christ, it won't be what we need to be. And you can see that the world is groaning for that. The world is groaning for righteous to be in control. But meanwhile, the wicked servants are out there telling us what to do. And you know what? God says, for the time being, you have to submit to that. And so, I said a while ago, he comes to authority without limitation. Well, the servants have limitations. The servants are limited. They can't do these things. They can't do what the son can. Okay? And so, but this son is out there, and he's just like a servant. But he's being tutored. He's being taught. So he's just like a servant out there. But after he's placed, these limitations that he has as a servant are removed, and that makes him the authority. I look back at stuff in my life, and, you know, when this son is out here working, the best thing that can happen to him for him to be owner of the plantation is for him to have been there and done that. I know what it's like to shovel manure out of the stalls in the barn. I know what it's like to have the sun beating down on my back and it ain't rained for 2 months, but we got to get this harvest in. I know what it's like. It's best that when a man who's in authority, that he's been there, he's done that. Why? Because he has a touch for the feeling of that infirmity.
That's right.
That's why Jesus Christ had to come as man, to suffer and feel and worry and have the pains and the headaches and stuff. He had those things. He was human, right? Groaned with a headache, and he was tired and needed to rest. And he knows all about all that, so that when he rose to authority, he knows our frame. He knows that we are but dust. And he knows how to be touched with that feeling because he's been there. And that means he can intercede correctly. And that means that he will not exact from you something unjust. He will not ask you to do something you are absolutely unable to do, but what he equips you to do it. He's always fair. He's always just, but he's always drawing in that direction to bring you to that place of adoption. And so I think about this. You know, I've held just about every position in church that there is. And I tried to hold them with faithfulness. And because of that, I know the feeling. I know what it's like for Brother Daniel to come home from work at night and he's got some bookkeeping he needs to do for the church. I know what that's like. I did it for years. I know what it's like to have to go handle things. Even though I haven't held an actual official position as a deacon, but when you're a minister or assistant pastor in the church, you have a responsibility up like that that you deal with things too. And so, treasurer, you know, bookkeeper, construction worker, cleaner, whatever it might be. And so by having those things, I know how not to ask these brothers in the church or ask people in the church to do things that's not right. It's not it's the wrong circumstances or the wrong, you see what I'm saying? So it's best, you know, and even my situation at work, you know, I'm a supervisor over these seven guys, and you know, I started out at the bottom. I was a technician. I know what it's like to do those things. I know what it's like to be out there and have a problem with something. See? I know. And so therefore, when I work with him, I know not to lash out at them when they're having troubles. If anything, I know that's when I need to get out there and really help them and give them the expertise that I would have because I've been there and done it. Doesn't make me a great person, but it means that I can help them, tutor them, enhance their experience, rather than condemn them because they don't make it. You see what I'm saying? So a good leader empowers his people by, he draws that. So the Holy Spirit will draw you, empower you to be what you're not, to get you to where you are that. That's the way it works. And so that's how this tutorship works. So look what the son has to endure as a servant. Now think about it. You know this is true. When the son's out there working alongside the servants might have envy. They might envy the position of the child, but they also despise it. You work right along there and you know, yeah, this is the heir. You know, and he's right out there and they know that he can't do nothing. He's like one of them, and so they ridicule him. You know how people are. They ridicule you. Yeah, you know, I've had people, when I went and prayed for that woman that was dying in the hospital, and God raised her up, and guys I work with said, yeah, Tony went and prayed for him. Yeah, Tony went and healed him, making fun of me, ridicule. Well, if I had been like, you know, this immature son would turn to, I'll just speak you out of existence. You know, you make fun of me. Can't do that. No. That's not the character. The character is to be able to be smitten, for him to slap you and for you to turn the other cheek and those sorts of things. See? Why? Because we're servants right now, though we heir of all things. Right. So we have to go to work Monday morning. We have to walk in there and deal with those issues. Right? Like Brother Tim right now, he has to wake up at the middle of the night for them to call him, that they would call him on it. He has to right now, you know? And that's what we get. And so God takes us and for instance, Brother Tim, until one of his bosses would take him and put him in a place where he doesn't have to do that, he has to do that. Right? And until God takes us off the field with his servants and places us as a son in authority over the whole plantation, we have to submit to the things
the servants have to submit to.
But while that's going on, we know who we are. And while that's going on, there's a special tutor that comes out and he visits us and spends time with us. And we have a different training program than all the ones in the field beside us do because we're air. We got different visitation from day to day, a different gauntlet we have to run, right? And but why? Because we are sons, we have to go down a harder training path. We have to go down the places that gets us ready for what the authority is coming will be. And we cannot be found just being like servants out here just doing whatever, you know. They don't have to worry about the how to bookkeep because they're not keeping the books. They don't have to worry about how to interact with the customers because they're not interacting with the customers, see? Just buying your hay or whatever it is you're making. They don't have to do that. But this son's got to learn how to do that. So day to day, he's got something on him, extracting from him, wooing him to learn more, to be more. Why? Because he's more than a servant. No, he's a servant. He's more than a servant. What's he doing? He's learning obedience by the things he suffers. Just like Jesus did when he come here. He had to trod this path as a servant for a while until he could be adopted. And you know, he was adopted, right? He walked the same path we did. Subject to the whip on his back, right? But when the time came that he was lifted up, then he was lifted up. So, this servant has to suffer all kinds of envy and despise and ridicule from his co-workers and so forth. And he has a different program that's teaching him and training him because he is coming into a position of authority. So now, I said earlier, the Holy Spirit, God sends forth his spirit to his gene. So he's coming forth to say to his gene, you're my son, and that's to cause you to say, you're my father. I recognize you're my father, and I recognize that I need to be tutored with your tutorship. I need to, what? These tutors that you send my way to teach me and train you, you're my father, and I'm going to take heed to those, to that tutorship. Okay? I'm not going to be like the rest of them out here who aren't your offspring. I, as your offspring, am going to follow after what you are teaching me and training me to. So that spirit comes upon you, says, you're my son, and it says, you're my father, and that spirit that comes upon you is a spirit of correction. I'll let that soak in a little bit. A spirit of correction. But Brother Tony, you said it was a spirit, not a spirit of fear, but a spirit to make you go, oh, my father, I'm a father. And to enjoy and realize, I know who my father is, right? That's right, but it's a spirit of correction. Because if you do not have the abilities to handle the business yet, but yet you've got to someday, then you have to come into a relationship with this spirit of adoption that's going to bring you and make you submit to the tutors that come, and so that tutor... And you can say, but I want to do what the servants do. I want to spend my time, my pastime, doing what servants do. Not if you're coming to authority someday. Right? See what I'm saying? So it's a spirit of correction. A spirit that comes upon. Why? Why correction? Because the Father wants you in authority someday. And he knows that there's no way he can give you authority if you don't submit to this training path and you don't come to the place where you're in perfect agreement with him. There's no way you can run the estate. There's no way the sons of God can absolutely rule this world like the scripture says we're going to inherit it. No way we can do it if we don't come to the place where we agree with the Father. Because the character and nature of the Father who was able to span this universe in the first place, he knew how to set it all in order. He knew how to make all nature work the way it does, and it's been working all this time. He knows how to do it, and the only way you can manage it is to come to the same understanding and character to be able to handle it. Because otherwise, the first thing you do after you're adopted, you go, you know what? I don't like Jupiter right there. I think it ought to be off over here. Yeah. And the moment you change that, everything goes corrupt, chaotic.
Right.
See what I'm saying? It won't work if we don't come to unity with the Father. See? So who sent this thing to you? The Father did. Who's this? Who is it that's constantly hounding on you? This spirit that comes from the Father. This spirit that's trying to bring his son to maturity where he can go, this is my son. I want the world to see. This is him. Look at him. He's wonderful. Just like me. I can trust him with everything. This is what he wants. So that's why this spirit has to come, and it's a correction. And it seems like a continual curse to the child, but it's not a continual curse to the child. It's a continual blessing. A continual blessing. Because that's what takes you to that adoption. It's the spirit of adoption. The correction of God upon our lives. And you children, the correction of your earthly dad to bring you to that level. That's what it is. And there's no way to get there any other way than that. You can't be like servants. You've got to be like the Father. You've got to learn what the Father puts upon you to learn. You've got to come that route. There's no other way to get there. And if you don't come that route, you'll never be there. I know that's harsh. But no father in his right thinking would turn his estate over to a rebellious son. Won't do it. See? You have to learn obedience by the things you suffer.
That's right.
And so this is upon you continually. He's like constantly hammering me. Constantly telling me to do different, do better. It's because he loves you.
Amen.
That's why. Satan wants you to interpret it wrong. He wants you to interpret it and say, my daddy don't love me. My daddy don't care for me. I can't do things the way he wants me. No, it's wrong. He's doing that because he cares for where you wind up. And that's God. That's why the Holy Spirit deals with you. Constantly, every day, if you're a Christian, he's dealing with you, dealing with you. Do better. That's wrong. Do it this way. And if we take the wrong attitude, we go, you know what? God don't love me. He's constantly hammering me. And when we're raised up in a generation that's so soft, they can't even handle a statue that they disagree with or something. They can't handle nothing. You can't wear something. You can't have something displayed on your porch. You know, soft generation. Now take a son of God, put him in that generation, and if he wants to be like servants, he's not going to endure the chastisement of this spirit of adoption that's upon him. You see what I'm saying? We live in an age where it's called people's rights, Laodicea, people's rights. Oh, don't offend them. They got a right to be this. They got a right to think they're one of these 30-some-odd gender identities. It's ridiculous. How many was it? I had my wife look it up. 30-something identities now. Really? There's two, male and female. Oh, but don't tell them. Because they'll just, I can't stand it. They just go crazy. Yeah. That's exactly what it is. Now you take a son of God, and he's got gene in him to do better than that. And you put him in this generation, and if that's what he's fed with, and that's what he's tuned into, he doesn't like it when the Holy Spirit gives him correction. He doesn't like it when his earthly dad gives him correction. But he's got more in him than that, and that's why daddy keeps talking to him. Why? Because he's my son, and that's why he keeps hammering you and saying, come on, son, you can do better. We got a place we can take you to. Right in the middle of a generation where Satan says, I got him. They won't nobody come forth in maturity now because I've placed him right in such a soft age. And God says, oh, yes, I will. I'll have sons. And they'll come to adoption right in the midst of all this. And the way he does it is exactly what I'm talking about. Continually working on you. Telling you, you can do better than this.
Yep.
Why? Because he knows what gene is in there. He knows where you come from. And he knows that genetics
can produce, but it's got to be trained. It's got to be taught. And so that's the way it works. So he sends his spirit to where his children are. That's where it goes. The Holy Spirit, I'm not trying to be sacrilegious or anything like that, but, you know, just to try and get a point across. The Holy Spirit's not dealing with Putin, not dealing with Clinton. Their fruits show that, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
But the Holy Spirit's not dealing with them people. Holy Spirit's not, he's not dealing with the council here in town, the city council. He's not dealing with all this. See what I'm saying? He don't deal, you know? He might deal with somebody, but you understand my point. He don't deal with all this nonsense. He's not out here trying to have a better presidency next time. That's not what he's doing. He's anointing his sons, his children, to come forth.
Yeah.
And they're not worried about those things. You know, we want to know what's going on in the world and stuff like that, but you know what? That's a double-edged sword. We want to know what our Father's saying.
Right.
That's where it's at. We want to hear his voice. We want him to wake us up in the wee hours of the morning and hear what he's got to say.
Amen.
See, that's what we want. And so he goes to his children. That's where it goes to. It goes right to his children, not somebody else. And this is the channel that brings adoption. Seems like a cursing, but it's not. It's a blessing. So the scriptures, like he says, David says, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Because if God wasn't spanking you, then it means you're not his child. He's not dealing with you. And so scripture says, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither faint when thou art rebuked of him. Right? But take his correction and do better. Work harder to obey, to come to that mindset where you know you're thinking the same way the Father does. So I was this morning and just kind of looking over what I had typed out last night, and I didn't know the scripture was there, Psalms 118:18. I didn't know it was there, but the Lord just directed me right there, and I just fell right on 118:18. The Lord has chastened me sore, but he hath not given me over unto death.
Amen.
Think about it. He's constantly working on me, constantly hounding me, leading me, trying to get me to do better. But praise God, he hasn't turned me over to death.
Amen.
Because I'm going to tell you something. A real father won't turn his son over to death. You know what I'm saying? He'll work with him. But from the other standpoint, just to get a point across, if you ever rebel against Father to such a place that he no longer deals with you, you are in deep trouble. You will never come to that adoption. If he ceases to tutor you, if you silence that Holy Spirit that tells you, don't do this, do like your parents are teaching you, if you silence that, you can't make it come back if he don't send it. You can't stand out there in the field and say, Daddy, send me the tutor. Because it ain't coming unless he wants to. And you can talk to people who's done that. And they've done that in their lives. And they realize they spurned it. It maybe went years before finally God finally sent it back to them again. You don't know that he'll do that to you. So don't despise the chastening of the Lord. Don't despise the hand of the tutor. You know, Brother Ram tells it this way. He says the Holy Spirit comes and he's monitoring you. You're God's children. And he talked about Pentecost like this. You're God's children. And God sends the Holy Spirit down to see what you're doing, and the Holy Spirit goes back. Now, we know God knows everything, right? But yet we know he plays it out like this, you know, and they come before and say, what about Job? And all these things, you know. So the Holy Spirit, he sends the Spirit down there and he says, what of it? What's my children doing? And the Holy Spirit comes back and says, sir, or whatever they say to him, I'm sorry to have to bring you this report, but your Pentecostal children, they're not doing too good. I know you gave them a restoration of the gifts. You poured out your spirit upon them, and they speak with tongues, and they see, you know, they have these things happening. But they've taken that, and they've went to sensation with it. And now they're teaching, they're believing, and they're teaching their fellow brothers that the initial evidence is speaking in tongues. He has to go back to the Father, and he has to say, Father, they're not doing too good. They're not doing what you've told them. And Brother Branham explains it this way, that Pentecost, they're children, right? Because he sends the adoption. They're children, but they never come to adoption. Now, what did I tell you adoption was? Rapture. Body change. They never come. Now, I want to ask you something. Did Pentecost rapture? Did they have body change? No. What's lacking? Are they lacking shouts? No. Are they lacking speaking in tongues? No. What are they lacking? The maturity level of the tutorship of the word, what it brings you. They rejected the voice that was sent to them. They rejected the very messenger that rose up in their age and had done things that no other man had done. Therefore, their sin remaineth. Right? You understand what the parallel? So he had done, and they rejected that. And because they rejected that, they will not come to body change. They'll have to come up as foolish virgin or what? You understand what I'm saying? But they will not go to adoption. But now I'm going to ask you a question. If they rejected something and they don't come to adoption because of it, what group is it that is? What group is it that is going to come to body change? That is going to come to adoption? It's the ones who don't reject what they rejected. Right? Think of where we're at. Think of how serious. There's only one way to get there. And that's to receive the correction that comes. And God to lead us and guide us to that place where he's willing to tell the world. Look at there. And wraps him in a white robe, robe of righteousness. So we find out from all this that obedience is not an option. Obedience is a requirement. Absolutely required. Full obedience to the word of God entitles you to, Brother Daniel, the token. See, he knows. Full obedience to. You say, well, I fail so much. How hard are you trying to listen to the tutor? How hard are you staying with the tutor in his word? Are you gone half the time? Or you know what? What are you doing? Right? And I'm not saying it because people went to meetings last week. You know what I'm saying? I'm not trying to pinpoint anything. I'm just saying, in our daily life, how much are we in the word?
Right.
Really? How about, and this would condemn me too, but how about next week we put a board up here and put everybody's name on it and let you come up and write down in this column how much time you spend with the Lord during the week, and then let's put some other columns. How much time we did this or we did that or we did something else. Would you be embarrassed to come up here and do that? You see what I'm saying? Because the child should not have his mind on the things that the servants do. He needs to have his mind on the things that the Father is giving him that will take him to that adoption.
Right.
That's where his mind should be. His mind shouldn't be out here on all this other stuff. I realize with responsibilities, we have certain things. I at work, I have to use a computer at work. But I'll tell you one thing. Our minds should not be on those kinds of things. Our minds should be on Heavenly Father more. Through the day, Brother Daniel will tell you this, through the day, we're working, we're thinking of God all the time. We're, you know, sometimes stop and pray, but he's dealing with us, we're thinking of that. And sometimes we get so overwhelmed with things that we're having to give attention and we're not thinking of God because we're having to put out fires. But just after a little while, everything gets done, and next thing, now you're back to thinking about God.
Yeah.
Meditating. Wondering about this, wondering about that, meditating on that. See what I'm saying? This is, you know as well as I do, that heir out there in the field, though he's a servant, that heir, you know that his mind's got to be thinking on the things of the Father or he'll never come to adoption. So our minds, this is where our minds have to be. And so obedience is not an option, it's a requirement. Now the scripture tells us, but you're familiar with it, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft and stubbornness as iniquity and idolatry.
So I want to ask you a question. What happened to witches in the Bible? What happened to idolaters in the Bible? Right? You rid the land of such a thing. Right? Why? Because of the destructive effect it has on the land.
Amen.
On the people of the land.
Right.
You get rid of the witches. You get rid of the idolaters. Right? Idolaters, people have many gods, have many things they worship. And if you spend a whole lot of time with it, that's probably your god you worship.
Yeah.
Right? So, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. So a child who's got rebellion in it, and that scripture's back there where Saul wouldn't obey the voice of the Lord. And you look what happened to him. What did God do? Did Saul come to adoption? No, he was rejected.
Right.
Why? Because he was in rebellion to the Father's word. And so the scripture said, a child that's in rebellion, that's as the sin of witchcraft. So what is the reward of witchcraft? Think about it. Then if the reward of witchcraft is what it is, then what about rebellion? See what I mean? There's no way God can bless rebellion. He can't do it. And any godly daddy won't do it. He can't do it. And stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. So a stubborn child, a stubborn spirit, right? A stubborn Christian. They won't walk in it. They just stumble this way and they just anything they can do to not walk in it. But they just won't walk in the plan of God, right? That's like iniquity and idolatry. What happens to idolaters? You see what I'm saying? To walk in rebellion and stubbornness, it cannot be blessed by God. It cannot come to adoption. Why? Just simply because it's not ever coming to the place where it's in unity with the Father.
Right.
That's why. Amen. Now, the scriptures did say it's as. In both cases. Didn't say the rebellion was witchcraft or whatever. It says it's as the sin of witchcraft. And the word of God is perfect, right? See, it's perfect. So a child that's rebellious, he'll be a child. But he ain't going to come to adoption. Right? Why is he still a child? Well, because he's got that gene in him. But that gene has to be tutored. That gene has to come to the place where that gene expresses itself like the Father. Amen. So when it comes time for this child as he's growing and maturing, and it's getting close to the time where the Father is gonna lift him up, put him on a high place, and wrap a robe around him and say, "This is my son, hear ye him."
Yep.
See, he's now got authority. As that time approaches, you'll find out. Please bear with me. I'm almost done, but I don't want you to miss this, the rest of this. As that time is coming and approaching, that desire of that father to place that son, it becomes more of a desire upon his heart. It begins to, it's consuming more, and he's getting closer, and he's starting to make preparations. Why? Because this is something he's looked for a long time. But at the same time that the father is expecting and drawing that, it's because that son has reciprocated to that level. He knows that his son's about there. And so he's getting ready, and the excitement of the moment, and just almost to the place where, "My son, I'm going to be able to say, go speak the world into existence if you want to, son. Because I know you'll do it right. You won't do it for the wrong motive," see? So as that time begins to come like that, then there's something in that child's life that's also coming to the place, groaning, and that desire, I'm almost there, and I can't back off now, and I surely can't act like servants now. I just got to keep, because I'm almost there, and my Father, our fellowship is growing and growing, and I know just any time now, He's going to place me. Groaning. This is what I must have. I got to have it. And so I know that right now that I'm so close and I have such a groaning, I'm not going to mess up now. I'm really going to be tuned in to Father's will now. I'm almost there. I can't back up now. I can't lay it aside now. I got to, if there's things, I got to get rid of this and get rid of that because I'm almost there. And this reciprocation, I feel the momentum building. And all the scenes, stages set. And I know that just any time now, Dad's almost got the scaffolding built. He's got my robe ready. And he's about to send out the invitations. I'm not going to drop the ball now, Daddy. You've invested a lot in me. And I'm not giving up now. Is there something else I need to know, Dad? Is there something else that I've done wrong that I need to fix and straighten out? What is it? This is where we should be, see? As that time, because the Scripture is speaking of groaning. It's a groaning in the Father to place that Son. It's a groaning in the child to want to come and be like Father. It's a groaning. And you know, the earth, we read it, the creature itself is groaning. Waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Creature, the creation, the world. This world, the trees and the birds and all that. And you say, well, they don't have intelligence. Well, I beg to differ. They do. The Scripture says they're groaning. Creation has intelligence enough to know that their well-being belongs in the hand of the sons of God. And these sons fell into bondage. And so they went into bondage too. Not willingly, but they went into bondage too. And so as the sons are groaning for adoption, the earth is groaning for adoption. And as that time nears, in the hearts of the children of God, the sons of God, the groaning should become greater, a stirring, an unsettlement. I got to do whatever it takes left because this time's close at hand. While that's going on, the earth groaning intensifies. This is why Jesus said there will be an increase of these things. Earthquakes and all this stuff that's going on. This is not a bunch of nonsense. This is God bringing His children to adoption. And earth is just stirred. And more things happening because we're getting that much closer. That's why it's happening. The world wants to know, well, it's just another hurricane. Another hurricane. Another earthquake. I seen somebody post something the other day. Said, well, we had floods, we got fires, we got hurricanes, we got earthquakes. Somebody needs to check on volcanoes. I think we might need to check on them. Well, that's next probably, right? They're making a fun out of it, but it's true. Because when you look out and you hear another earthquake in Mexico, and you hear something else over here, and another hurricane out here, when you listen to that, you need to think, it's the sons of God coming close to adoption. This earth is groaning, and the waves foaming out their own shame, the Scripture says. Why? Because they want to be liberated. And so it's just a stirring, because that time, it's the anticipation. What do you think is going to happen when this rapture happens? This ain't going to explode with the joy of being liberated. You see what I'm saying? Because the earth is liberated with sons of God. I don't know the timing of how all that, but you understand. There's a liberation that takes place when the sons of God come to their adoption. So, why is the Father so insistent upon us? Why is He so insistent to tell you, you go back to that word, get back to that, get back to that? Because that's the same word that spoke it in the first place. That's the same word that spoke the universe and the angels and everything else into existence. And that's the word that you and I have to have in our heart when we go into body change. Because remember, death doesn't change it. It just changes your dwelling place, but it doesn't change your character. So we come back to that word. And this, we come to the place where we agree with the Father in all points. So there's no difference there. And then God changes us. And he quickens us and he seals us away over into that body change. And here we are now in a new body. And what nature do we have? One to speak contrary to the word, or one that agrees with the word? So we come to that here. Now, as Sister Becky said yesterday, she said, you know, this is no man's land. This is where Satan wants to. And you know, you're thinking, oh, this and that. But she said, down here, it's settled. Right? So we're up here, oh, you know, but down here, it's settled. Right? It's settled. Sons of God coming to adoption. So he's so insistent because he loves you. And you're not going to get by with nothing. You're not going to get by with something. Right? If you deviate from that Father's will, you're not getting by with it. Because he knows. And he'll find out if he didn't know. But he knows. See, our Heavenly Father knows.
That's right.
And you're not pulling the wool over his eyes. And you can't pretend nothing with him. It has to be the real thing. Or it's not going to happen. See? So he's so insistent. That's why he's... And right at this hour where we know with everything, the earthquakes and everything are building up, we know why it's building up. Because that time is drawing nigh, and there ought to be something in our hearts building up too, saying, Abba, Father, what else? Come on, you know, let's get this straight. Because I want adoption. But the key to it is, you don't come to adoption just because you want it. You come to adoption because you have sufficiently learned obedience by the things you suffered as a servant, though you had a gene of God in your heart. Amen. He will not turn his kingdom over to rebellious children. He's not going to do that. So I want to say this. You have free moral agency. He ain't making you do anything. He's not. He's not making you do anything. But here's what it is. Until you can do exactly what the Father's will by your own choice, you're not ready for adoption. Let me see if this sounds right. Boy, my son, he's a real man. He's just like me. I can let him just do anything he needs to do across the farm as long as I'm watching him. Does that sound right? No. We're talking about such unity with the Father. This is what the Son really believes because he's seen it work. He's learned it. He has saw that this works and this is how it is. And when God says it, when Father says it, this is the way we do it, and it works. And he's learned that and he's convinced 100% we're going to do it Father's way. Father's way is now my way because I have seen that it's right. I've tried throughout the years and I've made mistakes and I've realized it don't work any other way. It's Father's way. And then Father can say, okay, son. And Father can put that son in authority and he can turn around and walk away. He can go off on vacation, be gone for 6 months, and not one time wonder if that child, that son, is doing what's right. See what I mean? God doesn't want to have to be to the place where he just constantly having, you better be careful there. I'm letting you have the privilege to drive the truck, but I tell you what, I'm following you. I'm following you behind because I'm going to, God don't want to do that. I don't want to do that with my children.
No.
I want to see in them the experience that they're mature and do the right thing, and I can say, here, go, have a good time. And I know he'll do what's right. This is what I want. And I'll tell you something. I said it a little while ago, but when you're not in agreement with the Father, that's the most tumultuous time. You know, it's kind of funny. I hope this don't sound wrong, bad. It's kind of interesting that I have so much to say about a father-son relationship when I didn't have a father. I've just learned it, I guess, by the grace of God, and I have failed in my own position as a father many, many times. You know? And when you fail, it's hard to reel it back in.
Yeah.
When you let something, or you know, it's really hard to reel it back in. But you learn from these things. And you learn at some point, you know what? I'm not going down that road again. You learn to say, you know what? I compromised here, and it's an Ishmael with a thorn in my side to this day because I compromised. Well, you know what? I ain't doing it again. I'm not dropping the ball here no more. I'm not dropping the ball there no more. I'm not going to do it over here anymore. I'm staying with what's right if it takes a hair off my head. You understand?
Yeah.
And this is the way it should be in our natural walk with our family and our parents and with our Heavenly Father. I want to ask you a question. If Jesus would have come to this earth to save you and I, and he would have had a different thought than the Father, where would you and I be? Think about it. This may sound like frivolous chewing and stuff or whatever, but really, when it comes down to Gethsemane, and God puts you under the test, and you realize that if you stay with the Word of God, it's going to cost you in this life, and you're put to that test, what are you going to do? Are you going to say, Father, I'm not doing it? Or are you going to say, you know what, Father, I've come to the place to know that your will is better than mine. And so even though I'm asking you, can you remove this from me? If you won't remove this from me, your will be done on mine. This is what we have to come to. We have to come to that place where we stay with the Word no matter what it costs us in this life, whether it is, even if it's the person that sleeps beside you at nighttime. Right? We've got to stay true with the Word of God. Right?
Yes.
And the Scriptures, foreknowing this, said, you know, anybody that has to, you know, forsake houses, lands, and wives, and children, and it says that they have your own household sometimes will be your own enemy, right? They're your own co-workers, your own relatives, whatever. And I pray in our homes that it not be that way. We should, you know, if the Word of God has its preeminence, it won't be that way. But no matter what, we're willing to forsake whatever it is to stay with Father's Word. Amen. And that's what we want to do. Amen. How many wants that spirit of adoption to have his way with you?
Amen.
Man, I'm sorry to take it so long, but I don't know what this is. I have no intentions, but this is the kind of stuff the Lord has given me. And I just have to deliver it because it's kind of a thought that I have to finish. Or I would spend as much time next week getting back to where we are now. We leave off to pick up. So, but anyway, there you have it. Spirit of adoption. It's not a continual cursing. It's not a continual chewing on you. It's a continual blessing. God continually drawing you higher and higher. Amen. Let's just bow our hearts and let the musicians come. Amen. If you would like for... just with every head bowed, if you'd like to ask the Lord today to help you adopt into your life what you've heard this morning, just raise your hand to him. I raise my hand. I want total complete fellowship, but total complete fellowship has to be total obedience. I ask God that he would help us each one with that. Our Heavenly Father, as we come to the end of the service, Lord, as said these things, and I realized, Lord, that to me it seems somewhat harsh. I don't mean to be, but it's what you gave me, and I think it's pertinent for this hour, Lord, and the walk that we have and the time that we have and seeing everything acting the way it is in the world, that, Lord, our time, our redemption draweth nigh. That's what you told us when we see these things, just to look up, lift up our head, for our redemption draweth nigh. And so I pray, God, that each one of us, that we, those last preparations, Lord, I realize, and your prophet said it, but there will come a time, Lord, where this will be the last, there will be a last sermon that will be preached. You know, this one could be it today, but for me or for this people, be the last sermon they would hear. And I pray, God, that when that time comes, Lord, that we're each one ready for that adoption, ready for that body change. Lord, that there won't be anything amiss, Lord. You'll take it all out of us. Your ways are past finding out. You know how to do these things, but we just commit ourselves to you. And
Lord, we commit the keeping of our own homes and this church into your hands. Lord, that we can be centered upon your word, that you draw us all back to where we need to be. If there's anything amiss, Lord, that it would all be brought back underneath the umbrella of the word of God in this hour. I ask God that you'd help each one of us, this assembly, in each home, each family, each member, Lord, that you would do the same for them. We love you, and we commit the keeping of our souls and these things into your hands. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You got a song? Okay. Let's all stand. We're going to worship the Lord just a little bit. As always, we pray with you if you want us to pray with you, but he sends his word and heals. Amen. I believe that.
Yes.
Amen. We're going to sing this. This is my desire.
This is my desire.
He chastens those that is his. He rebukes, he corrects those that are his, but he also pats those on the back that are his, right?
Yeah.
Says you're doing a good job. Amen. So, and you can do this. You have his gene in you. You can do this. You can make it to that finish line. Just let him continue to lead you and guide you according to his word. Let the tutors that he sends speak to you the word of God. And you press toward that mark. God will get you there. Amen. Just wanted to say, plans are for my wife and I. I think we're going to be gone next weekend. She and I are going to be going on vacation. And I think Brother Tim and Sister Catherine, we're going to be on vacation and we're going to go with them. But it's kind of funny. I've always wanted to go to Colorado and kind of drive around and see a few things and never had a chance to do it. And my wife and I had picked a time to go on vacation, got messed up a little bit, and we were still waiting to see where the Lord would. So we come up with next week as not the next 5 days, but a week from now to go on vacation. And then Brother Tim asked me the other day, him and Sister Catherine unknowingly had decided they would go on vacation. They were going to go to Colorado, and he asked me if I wanted to go. And so I said, well, I think that would be pretty good, you know. But as usual, Satan has started fighting me this week. So I just asked that you would be in prayer with me. And, you know, I don't want to do anything contrary to the Lord's will, but Satan fighting me, and I know he's a liar, so I'm fighting against him. But if you could pray about that, just ask the Lord to help you with that. We'll try to go and have a good time. Brother Daniel will be taking the service. I appreciate God giving us the group that we have, and I can always turn it over to someone I know is going to be doing what's right. And I don't have to worry about Brother Daniel doing anything amiss. So it's a blessing. And God didn't mean for us to all bear it alone, you know. So it's a blessing to have those around us that are helpers and have the same direction they want to paddle the boat in. Amen? That makes a difference. It's so precious for brethren to dwell together in unity. Amen. So, let's say God bless you. Just remember to continue to pray for the situation in the church. We brothers have talked about all kinds of things we want to try to get accomplished, but we really don't want to pull the trigger on anything until we get the final word. And so that's just any time now. Just pray that the Lord would touch the judge's heart. I think it's proper judgment. I don't think for him to go ahead and seal it up is perfectly fine. I don't have any reservations about that, but just speak to his heart that he would see that and say, okay, let's take care of this. Amen. So God speaks to the hearts of leaders. Do you believe that?
Amen.
Amen. So we just commit it to him. God bless you. Let's let you be dismissed in the name of the Lord as Brother Tim sings this next song.
My Jesus.